Thompson. On the show today, we're chatting with Leanne and Jeff. They are the regional managers for Barfoot and Thompson. We're going to track back their journey through the real estate world, and I'm sure we've got some good stories ahead. Welcome to Property Matters. Welcome along to another Monday. Boy, the year is racing by. We're now into April. Hope you've had a fabulous start to your week if you're listening as you're travelling home. Travel safe. We've got some great stories for you this afternoon. But remember, you can also download all our podcasts from Spotify, Apple, Samsung, iHeartRadio, or pretty much wherever you like your podcasts. You can also find us now on YouTube as well. Now, a bit of a different mix in the studio today because we're going to chat real estate, but from the lens of two people who have had a career growing up in this landscape, I guess, and that is the fabulous Leanne and Jeff from Barfoot & Thompson. They are the regional managers. Welcome to the show, team.
Thank you, Stephen.
Thanks, Stephen.
Great to have you back, Leanne. This is the second of time coming into the studio. Last time we chatted to you, I think you were branch manager at the Papatoetee branch.
Yep, that's right. Nice new studio here compared to where we were last time.
Oh, yeah, yep. A few things have changed. So, look, before we sort of talk about where the real estate world is today, let's kick off by just discussing your journey in real estate. So, take us right back. Leanne, you can kick it off. When did it all start for you?
So, Stephen, it started for me when I was living in Mangawhai. We'd moved our family up there and my husband was a local primary school principal. I'd been a hairdresser for 23 years and I had a group of friends around for dinner one night. And one of the couples, he owned the local real estate company. And by the end of the night, he'd convinced me to do my real estate papers, have a little bit of a change of career, and my exciting journey started then.
Brilliant. And where did that take you?
So the great thing about Mangawhai being back in the days, not what it's like nowadays, ladies and gentlemen, it's pretty manic up there and lots more people live there. It was a quiet little sleepy town. But the great thing about starting there was you got to sell people's homes, you got to sell holiday homes, lifestyle blocks, and also I sold a couple of farms. So it gave me a huge understanding of all areas in real estate. And then as Mangawhai progressed and development started to happen, you know, there was just more and more land being carved up and more people wanting to come to this idyllic place to live. So I was there for about 3 years when I decided I needed to learn a little bit more. So I decided to take this course in real estate, not knowing that it would be 3.5 years worth and wow, I'd end up with my manager's license. So not something I was considering, but really worthwhile, because when the crash happened in 2007, it hit Auckland more so in 2008, but the first thing that goes in people's lives when they have to tighten their belts is your holiday home. Mm. So it became a deathly. Oh. You couldn't even get a part-time job at the campground. There was nothing available in, you know, further down the road in Warkworth or anything like that. So that made me consider using my manager's license and applying for jobs in Auckland, which brought me to Auckland, which I ended up living away from my husband for a year. We just caught up on the weekends. But it was a really... It was the next exciting journey for me.
So did you come to Auckland as a branch manager or take on a role, or did you start in sales there first?
No, I came to Auckland as a branch manager. So I applied for a branch manager's role. I started off in Royal Oak, and then the owner of the franchise at the time, he had most of his offices out west, so decided it wasn't worth keeping something in a suburb all by itself, and I moved out west.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And how long did you sort of do the branch management route before heading into regional manager? You've done a bit of hopping between companies as well?
Not a huge amount. So I was mainly with Harcourts for all of this time. I was with Harcourts when I was up in Mangawhai, and then I happened to get a manager's role in Harcourts again in Auckland. So I basically, then I moved to Barford and Thompson after quite a few years at Harcourts. So all together about 13 years in management. And then head office gave me a little tap on the shoulder and asked me if I would consider applying for a regional manager's job, and that's where I am today.
Brilliant. And we'll unpack what that role entails shortly. Jeff, take us back. Is your story similar? Small town New Zealand somewhere?
Not so much small town New Zealand, but actually very close proximity to the studio here, Stephen. Just 100 metres up the road at Harcourts Mount Albert was my initiation into the wonderful world of real estate. And I came from a building, small building background, and in some ways it seemed like a logical progression. In other ways, I soon realised that real estate has very little to do with houses and a lot to do with people. So I started my selling career there and quite quickly realised the branch manager role would be something I would aspire to. So completed my branch manager and agency papers within that 12 months, and then opened an office for Harcourts in Grey Lynn and then Ponsonby. And that started quite a long journey, opening, running, owning offices over the years through many, many different markets. As Leanne said, the ups and downs of real estate, but never felt compelled to do anything other than that. Spent the last 5 years in the Ray White brand as well. So I've had a good look across a number of those brands, and now I've ended up in this wonderful position as the regional manager at Barfoot and Thompson. So quite varied, a number of roles during that time of general manager, CEO and auctioneer. So I've had a good delve into quite a few aspects of the real estate business.
Brilliant. Wow, there's a lot of knowledge in this room. So describe what is the role of a regional manager. We'll kind of unpack it a little later in the show, but just so our listeners get a sense, what's the key duties, I guess?
I think that the key role is really to supply that support to the branch managers out there in the field. It's a big job, managing and running an office. Some of them are big businesses, and they have many components from property management, of course, right through to selling. They're responsible for a number of tasks with right through from supervision, compliance, and we're there really to offer that support, particularly for our new managers, and also, you know, new products that come to the market, new systems, always, I think, now, and to help the integration of those systems in the branches. But essentially, it's a support role for our frontline managers.
Now, Leanne, Barfoot and Thompson's not franchised, so a little different to some of the other real estate companies out there. Does that play a different part in your role, in the sense that everyone's sort of working in that one company frame?
Yeah, I think so, Stephen, because, you know, when you're in a franchise, depending on the owner of the franchise, how many franchises they have. So if they've only got one franchise, then that team works around just those listings. If they've got three, then you've probably got a few more listings that you can work around. Whereas a family-owned business, you are all working as an entire team. So I currently look after the West, South and East, and a little bit of Upper Northland. And a lot of it is getting those managers together and how can they actually support each other. It's great having a real mix of ages and experience, and they work together for the betterment of their area and the betterment of the whole company, which hugely impacts on our agents and the public out there and the way we sell their homes.
And is that different to a franchise that's technically competing with their neighbour, even though they might be the same brand?
Yeah, absolutely. Because when you're in a franchise, you absolutely are competing with your neighbour. It's not as easy to be able to, perhaps if you've got a client, you're trying to sell their home for them. If they're looking at a property that's two suburbs away, then you don't have access to that property, whereas we tend to share everything. I think we're a little bit of a big beast, and we're probably known as, you know, to our competitors, a bit of a factory out there. But we've been around for 100 years, and we really pride ourselves on service, looking after our clients, and really doing the very best we can for people. So we don't rush things. Mm. We don't rush the process. You'll always have some, you know, agents that won't obey the rules in any company, but in general, we are there to take our time and do a really good job. That's important to us, and it's important to our reputation.
What is it that you both love about real estate that's kept you involved for so long?
Oh, so much to love about the business, Stephen. I think one of the things I absolutely love about it, you are part of that journey with a vendor and a purchaser, you know, probably the largest financial transaction of their life. And you do, you get involved in that. You're helping them move on with their lives. Some of the circumstances aren't always pleasant, but you're there as a professional to help them. You do get involved with their life, their family. You make lifelong friends out of real estate transactions. And if you do the job professionally, ethically, you can actually make a real difference to those people's lives. So I think that certainly keeps me coming back, you know, year after year, is just that you can absolutely make a difference.
Leanne, similar for you?
Yeah, totally similar. That's all about it, because your reputation is everything. So that's why it's so important to take really good care of people. But I think, you know, if it's something that you're considering, no day is ever the same. You're always growing. You're always learning. There's always something different to do. You're always meeting new people. It never gets boring. Yeah, never gets boring.
So what are some of the biggest challenges that real estate agents face these days?
I think it's, you know, there has always been challenges. It's, you know, it's a commission-only role. So, you know, you need, and, you know, we live in the era of the never satisfied customer. So the expectation, quite rightly so, of the customer is very high. I think the change in the Real Estate Agent Act means that the issues of compliance, education, supervision are paramount now. So the real estate agent absolutely does need to be a professional, and they do need to deliver that professional level of service, you know, to the client. That's a challenge, but also an opportunity. I think it's been a great thing for the industry that certainly that level of professionalism has certainly gone up, even though real estate agents sometimes get a bad rap. Most of the surveys done, most of the feedback that comes back, 80 to 95% of people are very, very happy with their dealings with professional real estate business.
And I guess in this world of technology and social media, you know, you're being watched, reviewed and reported on constantly with, you know, your Google reviews, Rate My Agent, many of those things out there. Has that played a big part in ensuring the professionalism's always there?
I think that's, you know, we are held accountable at that level, and you're quite right. You make a mistake and you're going to read about it somewhere the next day. I don't think the good professional agents are shy of that. I think they embrace that. I think it has meant that perhaps those agents that weren't exercising sort of professionalism and integrity, maybe there's good, and it's a good thing, there's just not a place for them in the business anymore.
Again, what about when it comes to property management? What sort of challenges are they facing these days?
Property managers have had it a little bit tough over the last few years, to be honest, Stephen. They've had a huge amount of new legislation. They've had to work within the Healthy Homes Act. That means trying to get landlords on board with all the new compliance that they have to provide for, you know, their properties. You know, some landlords, if you've got more than 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever it is, you know, that's a huge expense. So it's been quite confronting when the rules say this must happen and the poor landlord's going, well, I can only afford to do this much at once. And it's, you know, there's been time frames and all of those kind of things for them to have to be able to get things done. I guess as a big company, we've been lucky enough to be able to go to providers, so, you know, perhaps people that provide heat pumps and things like that, and be able to get better deals for our landlords. Legislation, laws are constantly changing, systems are constantly changing, so they've had a lot to upskill on. But then I think as a company we are really lucky. We have a full training department for our property managers. We have a full legal team that will support, pick up the phone at a drop of a hat and help in any way. And I think those are great things that reassure our customers that we know what we're doing.
Stepping away from challenges today, looking now back at your career in real estate, what have been some of the biggest changes that you have seen during this journey?
So for me, probably the anti-money laundering, the AML as people know it, that was a bit overwhelming to begin with.
So for someone listening who doesn't know what that is?
So anti-money laundering. So the government needed to, well, Ministry of Internal Affairs needed to check where all money was coming from in the country. So they couldn't make one law just for people coming in, because maybe you'd lived in the country for a couple of years and were still bringing money in from different countries. So basically it's to protect. Probably in a good example would be you come into the country, your parents send you money to buy a house, and then very quickly you move that money by selling it on and investing in something else. Jeff, you might have another example as well, but under that part, we had to start asking owners, you know, where have they got their money to be able to afford this property? And at the beginning, that was very awkward because there was not enough time for AML companies to quite get on board with the new changes. And so now it's very easy. All of that information goes into a system. We don't get to see it. We ask for the very basics. Where do you live? Your ID. And then the system takes all that other information about, you know, that you may have inherited some money or you've just worked really, really hard. And that just goes straight to the Ministry of Internal Affairs so that they can check if they want to. Yeah, everything is legit.
Okay. Jeff, any other changes that you've really noticed?
I think the fundamental difference, I think, from when I began in the real estate market is that we were the gatekeepers of all the information. If you wanted to know how much a property had sold for, the Real Estate Institute of New Zealand used to publish a monthly book, and that was the only way you could find out what that house had sold for, and that was only delivered to real estate agents. So the public had no way of gathering their own information. They were totally reliant on the real estate agent to supply that information. And of course now, you know, a great thing is that the buyers, that information is freely available to everyone. The buyers coming through the open homes or engaging on properties are fully informed. They very much have all that market information at their fingertips. And as you said before, it's much more transparent, it's much more open. And I think that's been a really positive change where both technology and differences in the industry have made the business, as I say, much more transparent for the public.
So on that technology front, where have you seen the biggest shifts in technology and is it all positive?
I think it's positive because we have this hunger and need to want to know as much as possible, like Jeff said, about a property before we even go and see it. Technology now provides us, you know, we get quite quickly tired of sometimes within certain jobs of reading stuff every day. So you can click a button and you get a lovely walkthrough of a property. You get to see more. Sometimes those agents will describe to you why the house, you know, is a consideration. You know, it might be you're moving suburbs and you might not know anything about the area, and they might be a little bit descriptive about the fact that, you know, you can walk a few houses down the road and there's a little alleyway down to the beach or any of those things. So I think with us online and social media and all of that, videos are great. Floor plans are another one. You know, laser technology, they get in there, you know exactly how big things are. You can look at a floor plan, you can space out whether or not that's going to suit you and your family, or whether you're just a new couple with a baby.
You can use software to digitally stage that floor plan too.
Absolutely. You can click a button and change the colour of the kitchen if you don't like it. All of those things, I think, it makes people spend a little bit more time on your home, which is great for the owner that's selling, because they can really see all aspects. You can go to an open home and visit a open home, go and see three or four more, and you're like, oh my God, what was that first one like? And technology, you know, is there at a fingertip to remind you.
And don't forget that other marvellous technological breakthrough, online auctions, you know.
Which all came out of COVID, didn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. It got an absolute boost over COVID. And what that did, it opened up the market, you know, to our vendors and to the buyers, wherever you are, you know, and to be able to transact and purchase a property again in that transparent way online. And that's something that is actually just gone to another level even post-COVID. So that's been a technological initiative that's serving the public well.
Are you seeing a return to the auction room though as well, where people like to come in and have that buzz and vibe of an auction room? Is it sort of balance between online and in person?
I think you're absolutely right. It is the hybrid model now, really. People do love to come in and see the auctioneer do their work and feel that vibe in the auction room. And that's still one of the most exciting days in real estate, for sure. But, you know, if that's not possible, and we deal with a lot of expat buyers, they might be sitting in their flat in London on the beach in San Diego and still want a slice of paradise here in New Zealand, then they can participate. And we've sold many houses to exactly those people. So, yep, there is definitely a move back to the auction room.
But it is a buzzy place to be. I mean, I was in one recently supporting a friend, although I'm a creative person, so if you know me, my arms flap around constantly. And she just kept saying, sit on your hands. She was so worried I was going to raise my hand. It was very tempting. But there is a real buzz in space. There's something cool about that.
It is. It's infectious, and I think it's... I'd encourage people to go along, particularly if they're thinking of auctioning their property. Get along to an auction room. Feel that atmosphere, feel that environment.
Prepare yourself for the space before you're about to bid. It's quite good to go in and see how it's all going to run and how comfortable and easy it is.
Absolutely right. And you know, keep your maximum in mind, plus a little bit, give or take.
Is there a part from the good old days that you think perhaps technology has taken away from, or the modern world, that you miss?
For me, if I think back, the thing that I miss the most is, you know, you could take people in your car. You'd pick them up, or they'd arrive at your office and park their car, and you actually had the time to drive them around, especially if they didn't know the area as well. You had the time to drive them around and really find out what their needs were. And, you know, sometimes you get to a house and they go, nope, not even going to go in the door. And other times they're like, let's just have a bit of a look. But when you took them through the home and then got back in the car again, they would open up and talk to you, well, I didn't like this, or we couldn't manage with that. And you'd make some suggestions about, well, could you compromise here? But you worked out very quickly what were their real no's and what were their maybes. So, yeah, and you built a relationship, which, you know, at the end of the time when you come to put that sale and purchase agreement, you're not complete strangers, where sometimes if it is online, or you're, like Jeff said, overseas or out of the city slightly, or you work in different places and you can't get the time off work to go and purchase the house, it's all done online or it's done through the internet and you know, like a form of what we call docu-signing.
When you're showing people around like that, was there a key thing or driver that would often sort of win? Like, is it the kitchen that, you know, makes or breaks the sale, or the garage, or the, you know, size of the rooms? Is there a key thing more than another that someone might just go, no, can't work in this kitchen, I'm out of here?
I think everyone might have a different opinion. But for me, I don't believe that you can sell anyone a home. It might be a little bit different if it's an investment, because you're not, you know, buying with your heart. You're buying as, is this going to give me a rental return or whatever it is. But when you're buying a home to live in, I don't believe you can force anyone to buy a home. I think what it is sometimes just opening their eyes to the possibilities that they haven't seen or they haven't thought of. You know, home staging makes a huge difference if somebody has moved out of the house, because people can visualise things. I often tell people, you know, when they're living in the house at the same time, people need to be able to see how they can move in. So as much as you can pack up as possible really, really helps them be able to do that. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's just offering them suggestions or solutions that they may consider. And it's going to be a yes or no. I can't force anyone to buy a house.
Jeff, is there a favourite memory from the past that you feel is now sort of not able to happen?
I think it does seem like it was very much a slower paced business, and you did have more time. But I suspect everyone had more time to transact. But it was, as Leanne said, when you took that buyer to the property and you see their eyes light up and the kids run to the bedrooms, like, there's something very gratifying about that. As a real estate agent, you think, yeah, look, I've got this right. This is the house for this family. And I think now, you know, it is online, it's pretty fast-paced, and that's the world we live in. So I guess some of those older school methodologies are now just, yeah, part of the history, I think.
Before we went on air, you mentioned about, you know, the driving around till late at night, having to sign up a property, going back and forth, no sort of electronic signing like there is today, heading back to the office, enter a few details into a computer. It was literally drive back, forward, make an offer. They were massive nights though, weren't they?
Oh, absolutely. And that was the real estate agent's job in those cases. Often they'd come out of that property, you'd write up the agreement on the bonnet of the car, you'd tuck it under your arm and off you would go. You'd drive to see the vendor, and 9 times out of 10 there was alterations to be made to that contract. You'd tell them to wait by the phone or wait up, you know, with a cup of tea. Back in the car, you'd drive over town, wherever it was. And I can remember instances where people have driven to Hamilton to get initials on contracts to conclude that sale. And it wasn't unusual for those deals to be completed at midnight or even later. So, yeah, that aspect of it, I don't think any real estate agent misses, and probably the public don't either, having a real estate agent turn up their door, rattling on their door at midnight. Yeah. But, no, that was certainly part of the old business.
Brilliant, brilliant. Do you think it's still a good career for people, becoming a salesperson?
Oh, I think it's I think it's a marvellous career. And we were talking about this a day or two ago, that, you know, still getting out of bed and being part of this industry is just so much fun. I think, you know, there is no glass ceiling. And over the years, I've certainly been involved with salespeople from all walks of life, all backgrounds, some seemingly disadvantaged, new to the city, who have made wonderful, wonderful careers, have been able to provide to their families. And that still goes very much today. It's still happening today.
Because it's always been promoted as, you know, that flexible living, you know, if you've got to drop the kids to school or whatever you're doing, you've got this ability to control your time. Obviously, every minute you're away from your job, you're not out there trying to get money. But is that still the case, that that flexibility is there?
Yeah, that flexibility is still definitely there. Don't be fooled. I think when I started, I told my family that they needed to treat my job as though I'd brought a 7-day-a-week dairy.
Yeah.
Because for the first year I was going to have to go flat out, and there might be family events that I you know, I might miss. But I needed to get my business up off the ground. So, you know, that element can still be there. But, you know, I know a few different people, like the couples do very, very well. Yeah. Very, very well, because, you know, they're working together and they've got their...
Share the load.
Share the load. Mums do incredibly well. So I know a great couple of mums who take every second weekend off. So one covers all the open homes one weekend, one covers the open homes the other. They both agree that I'm going to take a day off during the week, and the other one will take a day off on a different day. And you can still be flexible around school hours, but don't get me wrong, to be successful and to build relationships and to get into this industry, you need to have some savings behind you first, and B, it takes, you know, I reckon on often 3 years before your business really starts to turn over. And turn over means building some relationships, getting clients to recommend you, all of those things. But
and your comment at the beginning, you know, you said to your family it's like having a corner dairy for 7 days a week. You then need a supportive family around you. If you're in a relationship scenario coming into real estate, they've got to understand it's going to get a little bit hard for a while before you sort of start getting those rewards.
I remember after about 4 months, my first 4 months, and I was very lucky to start in a reasonably good market. My kids, I lived in Mungawhai at the time, and my kids just said, please, Mum, can you go to a real supermarket? Because we only had 4 squares in those days, or one 4 square. And I remember driving halfway to Whangarei to go to a, you know, a big supermarket in those days, and a client ringing me and saying, oh, Leanne, I'm on my way out from Auckland and I'll be there in about 40 minutes. And I turned around and drove all the way back to Mungawhai, and something happened on his way and he never turned up. And I was like, right, I have to commit to my family and just say, you know, learn to say no sometimes, or ring another colleague and say, look, can you help me out? Because I'm already nearly
some merit in that team, sort of a team environment. Yeah,
team environments are hugely important.
Yeah. What makes a good salesperson, do you think, skill-wise?
Oh, I think, you know, absolutely empathy, being able to sort of, understand what the client needs. You need to be, I think you hit the nail on your head when you talked about that professional commitment and being in business, because that's, I think, now how a professional real estate agent views it, that they are in business within a business. So you need all those sort of organisational skills of any good business. You need to look after your money, you know, you need to look after your GST, but you also need to be organised, empathetic, and realise that you're in the middle of this transaction. It's about you bringing the buyer and the seller together. Mm. So you need to be credible, you need to understand marketing. So it's a many-faceted job, and certainly Barfoot and Thompson, with their own massive marketing department and resources, do very, very well in that space. So if people are considering a career in real estate, it is just something to consider, but it's on the other hand, there's down days when everything can sort of, you think of falling apart with your transactions, but there's other massive highs in the business as well. And it can be a very rewarding, it can be financially rewarding and rewarding for your family if indeed it is the career for you.
And Leanne, property management, what makes a good property manager?
Oh, lots of things. Good communication skills. And I know that just sounds really, really basic, but, you know, our landlords and our tenants want to hear from us. So it's not a set and forget, great, I've got your property and I'm going to ring you because, you know, there's an alarm on the stove that needs fixing. Maybe it's 8 months later and something else is needed to be fixed. For us, it's really important that we actually ring landlords and perhaps say, gosh, I know I'm going to send you a report, but I just wanted to reassure you that your tenant is amazing and they're really looking after your property. So, you know, being in touch with people, having good communication skills is more than that. I think... what else? So you have to be pretty good at being systematic. There's a lot to do. So on any one given day, they take a lot of phone calls. So extremely structured in the notes that you write down, what the date is, the time is, when you're going to get back to people. So I guess, you know, much as some people are for and against multitasking, you pretty much have to be very good at multitasking. And you need to care about people. Mm. You know, you don't know what's happened in a tenant's life or why they all of a sudden might be needing a rental. So, you know, if you look after your tenants, if you're a person that can care about people and look after the tenants, that's in the benefit of the property manager, but it's also in the benefit of the landlord.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
All right, we're down to our last couple of minutes, so I'm going to do quick fire round now, which Jeff will be so annoyed with because he wants to talk about auctions. But we've gone into quick fire. So either one of you can answer, what's a top tip for someone thinking of investing in the property market?
Cash flow at the moment, I think, a unique opportunity to invest in the property market. Have a look at, there's properties out there with positive cash flow, with tenant demand at the moment. Excellent time to invest.
Brilliant. Top tip for someone preparing their house for sale?
So I'd say presentation is everything, guys. Not everyone has the flashiest house, but just pack up, make it kind of show home and, you know, just get declutter as much as declutter. You can and think about your front door entrance.
Nice. Top tip for choosing the right agent, and of course you're going to say Barfoot and Thompson, but, you know, choosing that right person that connects with you?
Well, I think that's you've got it exactly right. You're going to be working closely with that agent, so you're not interviewing a friend, but you are interviewing someone you can do a business transaction and work alongside. So you need to have faith in them, someone that can provide you with some good marketing and a program that's going to get your property sold. So you're looking for that professionalism, competence, and someone you can work alongside.
Jeff, you've got 20 seconds. Auctions, still a goer?
Still an absolute go-to in this market. It's working well for both the vendors and the buyers. Make sure your agent suggests auction.
Brilliant. Anyone got 20 seconds for a funny memory? Funniest moment as a real estate agent?
I'd only been in the business 2 days when I came to an open home that my boss was going to teach me how to do it, and he managed to slip, trip over, was covered in mud, and we had to stand there with him doing an open home covered in mud.
Oh no. Jeff and Leanne, thank you so much for coming on today. And if you want to find out more about Barfoot & Thompson, head to barfoot.co.nz. Or if you'd like to become a salesperson or a property manager, head to careers.barfoot.co.nz. Thank you so much for sharing your insights this afternoon. And thank you for listening. And if you have somebody you'd like on the show or a question you'd like answered, email us propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz. Have a fabulous afternoon. Drive safe. We'll catch you next week.